You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.
Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. Psalm chapter number 40, from verse 1 through to verse 3. Are you ready? Let's read. One, two, go. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' name. In the first service, I spoke about waiting on God. Waiting on God. This second service, I'll be speaking on the subject waiting for God. Waiting for God. You may please take your seat. I welcome you and all our internet viewers in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said in the first service, and hear it again. We live in an age of instant everything. We want our things done instantly. Right now. Tick, tick, says the clock. We can say to God, what you've got to do, do it now. We want it right now. We want it on our terms. We want it in our time. We want it in our ways. But God is too God to do things your own way or on your own terms. He is too God, and he's been God a long time. He's not a man. It's an age of instant anything, instant everything, instant coffee, noodles, instant marriage, instant money, instant millionaire, instant lesekese, instant ta, right now, suddenly. So even marry young people want an instant husband. We want it now. We want a fully furnished man. Full option. Full option. He has everything. Some men also want it full option. Fully furnished. Some non-entities of men waiting for women already made so that they can be living off them. Irresponsible. So in this age of instant everything, one of the most difficult responsibilities of Christians is to wait. And ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, it's not easy to wait. Waiting is not easy. Waiting is not pleasant. And to be able to wait for God, you must be someone who waits on God. And that was the subject in the first service, waiting on God. But let me ask you, what do you do when you have promises, you have prophecies, you have a word that is prolonged or deferred? What do you do? What do you do when your colleagues, your mates, all of them seem to have left you behind? Someone is in church this morning, you will not be left behind. I thought your amen will be louder. All your mates, all your friends seem to have gone. And you are still here, marking time. What do you do? Wait. And I can tell you, it's not easy to wait. There are people here this morning, you have been waiting on God, waiting for God. You don't even know when God will come through for you. But the choir told us this morning, is God, not a man, and he will never lie. When I was in the university, I had this sister, a very close friend of mine. We met from another common friend in the same fellowship as teenagers. And we were just teenagers, 1987. And then we became friends through a common friend. And then we both found ourselves in the same Faculty of Law, Obafemi Awolowo University. And because we were friends, through common friends, we became more intimate and we became close. We became so close, I knew so much about her. Friendship, Christian friendship. That guys who wanted to ask her out would come to me and ask me, Yemi, what do you think? I want to ask out your friend. Do I go ahead? And I really want to tell them, oh no, she's in a relationship with one medical student. So it's good that you asked me, you know. And so they won't go. But one of them still went. You know, he thanked me. He said, Yemi, thank you. That. And he used to form spirituality. That I hear God all the time, a prophet. You know, student, law student is a prophet. God spoke to me. So he told me God spoke to him that sister will be his wife. And I said, yeah. And incidentally, she's beautifully engaged. And then he said, Yemi, thank God that I came to you first too. If I had gone to her, she might have disgraced and have me upon all the anointing I claim to have. Having said that to me, should he still go ahead? He still went ahead to propose. And the sister told him, I'm sorry, I'm in a relationship. And then we left law school. We did youth service. And then when a lady should be expecting marriage, and the brother, who for whose sake we turned down all proposals, now came and said, I'm sorry, I can't marry you again. That Mokorupe lawyers can be very proud. You will likely be very proud. Obiri won you proud. You will likely be very stubborn. Obiri won you stubborn. Abi mommy wa? Ma? A share in the sober. One ecosy. So if you are claiming your wife, my wife is stubborn, it's like, so to the point of embarrassment, so tomorrow, if you're not stubborn, hey, let's go to appoint Jali. And this sister wept. Now began a process of waiting. How easy do you think that will be? When you wait, sometimes your friend leave you. They leave you not because they hate you, but because some of them are not psychologically and spiritually strong to withstand the emotional pain and pressure that you are going through. So they leave you. Not because they hate you, but they can't just stand it. And so all friends left this wonderful sister. And I was in Lagos now practicing. I'm pastoring. So each time I travel from Lagos, I'll go to our office and I will hold her hands and I will tell her, sister, it is well. Because what language again do you have? What message do I have to preach to her? Is it not well? When brother left you after 6 years of relationship, what will pastor say? Is it not well? Is it not well? Boy, is it not well? There are people listening to me this morning just because they refuse to compromise in a relationship. Their brothers now dumped them. And they've been waiting on God since they were dumped by the brother because they refused to compromise. Can you make a mistake doing the will of God? Now you are thinking, did I make a mistake? Should I have given my body to him? No, you didn't make a mistake. But then why am I waiting? I don't know. But wait. It's very difficult. He says, wait. You've sown your seed. You've broken your ground. You planted your seed. God is now saying, wait. But then you've seen others' fruits, other seeds, germinating and bringing forth results. What happened to my own? Agbado niye, ishu niye, koko nitiye. Wait. It is not easy. If anybody tells you it's easy to wait, they are telling you lies. It is not easy. You've been waiting on God and waiting for Him to come. Who do I marry? You are waiting and nobody's coming your way. Nobody's asking you, are you hand in marriage? And you are 30 something, approaching 40. You are even 40 and you are still waiting. Is it easy? No! But God says, wait! And that was why I took my time in the first service to minister. You can get the CD. On waiting on God. If you don't wait on God, you can't wait for God. If you are not a man or a woman of His presence, if you are not a lady that spends time with God, that has a robust relationship with God, in the place of prayers, and in fasting, and in the study of the Word, if you are not deep in the Word of God, you can't wait for Him. What does it mean to wait for God? Number one, waiting for God means to not go outside of God to resolve your matter. It's waiting for God. To not go outside of God to resolve your matter. To not go outside of God to resolve your matter. Let me tell you what makes waiting difficult. What you are waiting for can easily be resolved outside of God. Oh, am I talking to someone this morning? You are waiting for God to come through for you. And what you are waiting for can be easily gotten outside of God. To wait for God is not to go outside of God to resolve the matter. One of my precious daughters here, a young man said to him, to her, let me sleep with you. This one you are trekking about. And the man could give her a car. So you could go outside of God to resolve the matter of getting a car. You can go outside of God to resolve the issue of getting married. On Extra Project, someone said to me, someone said to us on Extra Project, that because a sister was waiting, a lady was waiting, a sister, she waited and waited, and when nobody was coming, she just went to become the fourth wife of one Elijah. Going outside of God to resolve your matter. Don't go outside of God. Don't go outside of God. Don't go outside of God. I suddenly couldn't read, preparing for my WAEC exam in 1986. I couldn't see again. I just couldn't see. And I began to cry. WAEC should be about 2 months. And me, I didn't know how to read during the day. As you see me, they see me so. If you're looking for a distracted man, it's me. So when my children are distracted, it's my wife that is always fighting and screaming. I say, leave them. They couldn't have been as distracted as I was. No video game in our time. But we made game for ourselves. We played game at the back. Yeah, all kinds of game. Come and ask me. And there was no way, no book you can give to me. No exam they are writing in heaven or heart or even in hell. And I carry paper in my hand and I go! Whoop. I will leave food to go and go! Football. I will leave food and go to Okare. You don't know the distance? Trek to go and play football. Short like this. I was a goalkeeper. I love football. Distracted. So I became nocturnal to read. 10 p.m. every day till 5 a.m. every day, including Saturday and Sunday. That was the way I read. And I told you, because of that consistency and waiting on my books, each exam I wrote, I don't know how to, I will see my books open before me like this. It's not because no spirit brought it. I have read so much, my mind, I pictured every page of my books. I will be copying, writing, so I can score 87% in history. If you're an history student, you know what that means. So nocturnal. Now the nocturnal guy, I couldn't really see again, whether morning or night. My father, and I have given my life to Christ. I was not giving my life to Christ. So my father did all. I had this, and then they took me to do tests. They said I would do this test. There was no money to get. They said I needed glasses. There was no money to get glasses. So I had to resort to eating yeast. I ate yeast like anything. And then one day someone carried the paper across, and I saw what was done on the paper.
Then I opened a book. I couldn't see again. So I put it like this. So I could see. So I started reading like that. So I was short-sightedness. And I read. And I passed my exams. And then I gained admission to the university. And I gave my life to Christ. So my father went to an uncle of his. A big uncle. All he needed to do is to hold your hand and look at your palm. He will just tell you all your problems from your mother and father's house. And the solution, he'll be telling you everything like this. And I didn't like going to him. I had given my life to Christ. So my father went to him and said, Baba, I should give you this coffee for you. I said, I don't want. I didn't know what I was doing was not going outside of God to resolve my matter. Please, waiting for God means to not go outside of God to resolve your matter. Come on, somebody say that with me. I won't go outside of God to resolve my matter. Marital matter, marriage matter, children issue. Don't go outside of God. A lady was waiting on God for the fruit of the womb. Be careful. Be careful. Look at your neighbor, tell him why. Be careful. Say it again. She was trusting God for the fruit of the womb and prayed, and then met this great servant of God, a big man with, a big title. And the man looked at her and said, real life. And the man said, let me sleep with you once, a bishop, and you will be pregnant. And she stood up and said, excuse me, man of God, what did you just say? And she left in anger. But excuse me, every word is a seed. The seed had been sown. And now she was waiting with her husband. First year again after, nothing happened. And each time, she would remember what the big man of God said. Let me sleep with you only once. And the temptation began to fester. What you nurture will grow. What you nurture may become a monster that may eat you up. She began to think about it. And she got to a yield level. Everybody has a yield level. A point that you crash, that you cave in. Your yielding point, your breaking point. Everybody has a breaking point. Oh, only tell me. Some people, their breaking point is money. So she got to her breaking point and she went back to Bishop with a Bishop smile. And Bishop slept with her. Only once! And she became pregnant. She went outside of God to resolve a matter. To wait for God is to not go outside of God to resolve your matter. Some people listening to me this morning, you have been terribly tempted to go outside of God to resolve your matter. But God sent me to you this morning to ask you to wait! Wait! Come on, somebody shout it, I will wait! Shout it like you mean it, I will wait. Again, shout it, I will wait. James chapter 5 verse 11. To not go outside of God to resolve your matter. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Please endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Job waited. And I've seen the hand of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Someone, please help me scream this amen. The Lord will show you mercy. What does it mean to wait for God? Number two. To be in a position of hope and expectation. Hope and expectation. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. To be in a position of hope and expectation. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God will quicken the dead and color those things that be not as though they were. What happened in verse 18? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Look at the next sentence. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Even when he had no child yet. Hope and expectation. To wait. To be in a position of hope. Don't lose your hope. Don't stop expecting. To wait for God is to remain in a position of hope and expectation. Even if it had ceased to be with you after the manner of women, like Sarah. Go and ask Sarah. It ceased to be with Sarah. It did cease to be with God. He can cease with man, but not with God. Oh, my former pastorate. How can I ever forget this story? A young lady had three issues, no husband. Now she's born again. She gave her life to Christ, doing well. I didn't really know the story of what happened to the father of the children or the fathers. I can't know. I wouldn't know whether father or fathers. But she's a child of God. And she was in the sanctuary. She was cleaning the church one day. And then a young man came and came to ask for someone. And then asked, please, I'm looking for so-so-so. Ah, he saw around. Thought it was all open today. So-so-so. And so the young man went to sit there and prayed. I was praying. And this lady kept sweeping. You know, someone who has come to church to sweep, maybe with the spotting some jean and a t-shirt and whatever, we would not be looking our best. We wouldn't have had the time to bath up. We wouldn't have had the time to make up, to dress up, to put concealers, to conceal all those nonsense. And then to conceal reality. Is it, are you not concealing reality? Why is it concealer? Conceal. To conceal is to cover. Kamari reality. Kamari facade. Is that not the meaning of concealer? If you look at someone in church, if you see her very early in the morning, you won't recognize. You know, my wife does not make up, but naturally, she doesn't do, you know, those heavy makeup. On her 40th birthday, some wonderful people here, they made up for her. They made up for her. I didn't recognize my wife again. As I saw her like this, from that day, when I'll be, you know, I'm a police. Interpol. Don't you think this father is too much? And she doesn't. If you see her finger, no pain. Her leg, no pain. Because he don't. Some people, if they don't get their pain from US, they'll be screaming, you will think heaven is falling. And you're wondering, what? They have not brought my order. What did you order? Hey, can I? Excuse me, what would that name? What will he do? Our priority is, oh my God. You order for me. You order for here. You order for make a lipstick, lip, all kinds. I traveled to London the other day. My wife has sent me to buy one perfume. I just thought, can you call oil? What do you call the oil again? I wrote it down because it means. So I went. And I began to look. I didn't want to go there. I sat, sat. So they said it was out of circulation. She said, they're not doing. So I called her. And so they said, they're not doing it again. She said, oh, they told me that in Dubai. I thought they didn't. You are not serious, Obinrin. They told you that they are not doing it again. And you are giving me stress of being looking up and down. That's exactly how some of us look for things. Don't go outside of God to resolve your matter. Stay in a position of hope and expectation. Your hope will not fail. In the name of Jesus. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. Number three. To wait for God is to believe in the sovereignty of God and trust absolutely in His judgment. To believe in the sovereignty of God and trust absolutely in His judgment. Daniel chapter 3. From verse 16 to verse 18, Psalm 115, verse 3. Daniel 3, 16 to 18. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, okay, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Nebuchadnezzar had threatened to throw them inside fire if they don't bow. They said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of your fire. And He will deliver us, okay. That's faith. He will deliver. Somebody say, God will deliver. Sir, watch it. Our God is able, and He will. Then look at what they said. But if not, if the sovereign Lord chooses not to deliver me, I will not bow. If the sovereign Lord chooses not to give me healing, I will not go elsewhere. looking for healing. If the sovereign Lord chooses not to give me a husband or a wife, I will not go outside of his will. If the sovereign Lord chooses not to give me a child, I will yet serve him. Because he's so, I trust his judgment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're showing us what it means to wait for God. To trust in the sovereignty of God and his judgment. God is a just God. God is a sovereign God. That he has done a miracle in your life does not make him more God. That he has not done a miracle in your life does not make him less God. He's God all by himself. Your miracle or no miracle notwithstanding is God. Sovereign. They said we will not bow. We will not worship. Even if God chooses not to deliver us. Psalm 115 verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Da 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 da. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. See, I don't understand God. He's sovereign. And that's why you must not flaunt anything. Don't flaunt your righteousness. Don't come before God and flaunt your holiness. Don't flaunt your serving him. Don't flaunt anything. Just worship him because he's God and depend absolutely on his sovereignty and trust on his grace and depend on his mercy. Ask for grace and mercy on a daily basis. There was this young lady who lived a very rough life and messed up her life. And before you could say Jack Robinson, she got married and even had children. Despite the fact that she aborted 3 times. And yet we have a beautiful young lady who kept herself a virgin. And didn't marry on time. And finally she got married and she's still trusting God for the fruit of the womb. What do you say? What do you do? Who do you talk to? Let me tell you some questions of those who wait on God. Number one, what is wrong with me? Number two, why me? Number three, God, where are you? Where is your face? Number four, when will you do my own? God, are you there? He has not gone anywhere, brother. He has not gone anywhere, sister. He's God. He's God. All by himself. He does not need a man to be the God he is. He's God all by himself. May he please the Lord to do you good. Someone did not say amen very well to that prayer. May it please the Lord to do you good. I said, may it please the Lord to do you good. And he pleases the Lord to bless him. May it please the Lord to bless you. May it please the Lord to give you your desires. If he so pleases. Somebody lift your hands and say, I don't know what you're asking him for. What you're waiting on him for. Say, Father, let it please you to give me so, so, so and so. Ask him. Let it please you to give me. Did you ask? You better ask. Let it please you to do it in my life. Let it please you, O God, to make it happen for me. Let it please you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Number four. To patiently wait for your answer and promises from God in his own way, on his own terms, in his own time, on his own terms. His own way. I feel like stopping my message here. I have not even started. Because of the time. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 verse number 12. The scripture says that he be not slothful but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promise. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, didn't ask to be anointed king. He was just doing his father's bidding. He was just in the wilderness, looking after the flocks. And they came, they sent for him, they asked him to come. And he got home. And the prophet looked at him and said, "This is God's anointed." And he poured oil on him. "You're going to be the next king." He was just a young boy, a teenager. Oil was poured on him. "You will be king." Just like Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph just had a dream. He just had a dream, you know, and he dreamt. And he saw they were binding sheaves, and his own sheaves stood up. Others made obeisance. He had another dream again. The sun, the moon, 11 stars were bowing to him. God showed them a clear picture of where he was taking him. God showed him, "I'm taking you somewhere." And this morning, listening to me, are some Josephs and some David. You have a promise, but listen, you are going through a process. There's a promise of God on your life, and you are wondering, when will it happen? When will it happen? Now, David was anointed king, and just like God wanted to bring it to pass, a demon came upon Saul, and they needed someone to soothe him, and the Lord fell on David, and so he was brought to the palace. Was he not moving near to the place of the fulfillment? He was brought into the palace to soothe and exhaust this king anytime the spirit of madness came on him, and he would play the harp and the demon would leave him. So David felt, "I'm moving closer to the place of prayer." Sometimes it appears I'm moving closer to the place of your dream, and then something happens again. It's like you slip away from that place. The same David that was now in the palace, something happened that even the king wanted to kill him, he had to run. He ran and he became a fugitive, waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise for his life. And twice he had the opportunity to go out of God to resolve this issue. But he said, "No, far be," let's read 1 Samuel. Let's read one of the episodes. 1 Samuel. He had the opportunity to kill this man, chapter 26. Let's read from verse 8 to verse 11. Now let's read from verse 7, please. Let's see what... Okay, verse 8. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered an enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth. Once, I promise you, I will not miss. I will not smite him a second time. Atamatasi, I will strike him once." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, if he so chooses, or his day shall come to die." I will wait for his day. "Or he shall descend to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I will stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. I pray thee, don't touch him." I won't do it my own way. I will wait patiently. So David was running from wilderness to wilderness, from cave to cave. The man who had a promise on his head, waiting for the fulfillment of his promise. Are you a brother David in the house? Keep waiting. Don't take things to your own hand. Don't go outside of God's will. Don't go outside of God to resolve your matter. Wait patiently. Your promise is coming. Maybe you are Joseph. You had great dreams, but nothing seems to be working. And rather than the fulfillment of God's purpose, your brothers conspire against you, and you are thrown into the pit. And then, just like that psalm says, he will bring you out of the miry clay. You have respite. You have been brought out of the miry clay. You are so excited. He's bringing me out, only to be sold into slavery. And in slavery, only to fall into the, to fall victim of Potiphar's wife's lust, and only to be sold again or sent to prison. From the pit to slavery to prison. And for 13 years thereabout, Joseph wandered. And the Bible says in Psalm 105, can we read Psalm 105? I'm getting ready to close, to lead you to pray. Psalm 105 from verse number 17. Verse 17, I suppose. 17. Okay? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold. Now, there are two words there that confuse me. He sent, was sold. Sent and sold. Sent and sold. His brothers thought they were selling him. They didn't know God was sending him. Sometimes when God makes you to wait, it is because God wants to do with you, through you, something bigger than you. He wants to do something bigger than you. So he compels you to wait. That was what he did in Joseph's life. Joseph had a vision. Joseph had a dream. There was something great that God was going to do. But God meant it to be bigger than Joseph. He meant it for the old. And so God sent him ahead of them. He was sent ahead. But the brothers, look at the way God sent him. He sent him. They sold him. And that's why you don't have to fight anybody who is selling you. They are cooperating with God in sending you. Don't fight anybody that hates you. They are the instruments God is using to make you. Don't fight anybody who is pushing you. They are pushing you to where God has prepared for you. They are pushing you to where God has prepared for you. They are pushing you to where God has prepared. They are pushing you into your glory. And you won't miss it in Jesus' name. God is He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold. God wanted to save the whole nation, and he sent Joseph ahead of them. Maybe you are a foreigner of a great people that you don't even know of. God. So please wait. Joseph waited for about 13 years before the fulfillment of the dream. Your dream will be fulfilled. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent. I do not have the time this morning to talk to you about four reasons why God keeps us waiting. The time is not there. Maybe I will be chanced to share with you the four reasons why God keeps us waiting. And you need to hear these four reasons. I don't know when God will give me the chance to share it with you. But let me close as I take you back to Psalm 40, where we started from. Psalm 40 from verse 1. Psalm 40 from verse 1. There are some blessings that God will give to those who wait on him. I have told you it is not easy to wait. Waiting for who to marry. Waiting for employment. Waiting for the fruit of the womb. Waiting to get something done. It's not easy to wait. And while you wait, your friends may leave you. Your friends may leave you. They may think you don't even fit in. You are in your own waiting period. You are in your own season of sowing. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Please, I want to plead with you, wait patiently for God. Let me tell the neighbor, wait patiently for God. What does it mean to wait patiently? To not go out of God to resolve your matter. Do you understand now? To be in a position of hope and expectation. To believe in the sovereignty of God and trust him absolutely. And then to patiently wait for your answer and promises from God. In God's way, on God's time, in God's time. And God's time is always the best time. God will never come late for you. In the name of Jesus. So what will God do? This scripture says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I waited patiently. He inclined. He reached out to me. He condescended. He stretched his hand. He inclined to me. God will incline to those who wait on him. He will incline. He will stoop down and reach out to you. He's going to stop whatever and come and do your matter. That is God. That's what the psalmist said. I waited patiently and he inclined unto me. Just like he inclined to blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, cried, Jesus, thou son of David. And when Jesus inclined, Jesus had this voice. What does it mean to incline? God will hear your voice. And Jesus stopped.
because of one man. And he said, come. For you, Jesus will stop to handle your matter. He will turn to you. I love the song we sang on Moriah Palm Mountain. Pastor Livingstone, I have it from him. Could you see me, Shelore? Could you see me, Shelore? Could you see me, Shelore? Emi omorede. I love that one. You don't understand Yoruba. God will turn to you to favor you. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He heard my supplication. He heard my prayers. You have been praying. You have been crying to God, calling on him. He will hear you and he will answer you. That's number one. Number two, verse two. Verse two. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. I don't know the pit you are in now. Now look at the description of that pit. God is going to bring you out. It's bringing you out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and establish my going. Some of us are in a pit and the pit is full of clay, miry clay. You know, miry clay is sticky. Some of us are in a sticky situation. You are going through something that is sticking. It sticks to you. You want to leave it, but it's sticky. It's stuck on you. You want to leave it, but it's already on you. You can't even come out. And anything you touch gets sticky because of the miry clay. You are in the miry clay. God shouldn't even look at you at all. He shouldn't even look at me because of the clay. Sticky clay. Sticky mess. But he brought me out. God will bring you out. Now, listen to this. He said, he brought me up also out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. I love the way man of God put it. He said, God will bring you up to set you up. You didn't say amen because you are afraid of setup. You know, your own meaning of setup. The command of setting up be cool, dear. Set your feet upon the rock. It will bring you out and set. It will bring you up out of that clay, out of that pit, and it will set you up. For those who wait on him. For those who will not go out of God to resolve their matter. And number three, verse number three, he says, and he gave me, he has put a new song in my mouth. These three things God will do. He will put a new song in your mouth. He will incline to you. He will hear you. He will bring you up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. He will put a new song on your lips. Everybody to his own. Some of us here, what he will do is God will hear us. He will hear you. Some of us say, what he will do is, you know you are in a sticky mess, he will bring you out. Some of us say, what he will do is that he will give you a new song. Please bow down your head. Bow down your head. Before we go to pray, short prayers, you are here this morning. You have not met Christ. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you. And you are ready this morning to accept Jesus as Lord. You want to give your life to him. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. Pastor, let me pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So he can bring me up and set me up for glory. Lift up your right hand. I want to be born again. I want to pray with you. If I see your hand, you are the first person I want to pray with. I want to be born again, Pastor. Please lift it up above your head. I want to be clear. Thank you, Father. Could you see me, Shelore? Could you see me, Shelore? Emi omore. Can you sing it one time now?
Could you see me, Shelore? Could you see me, Shelore? Could you see me, Shelore?
I want you to pray based on that Psalm 40 verse 1. Your prayer number one, Father, incline unto me and hear my cry. Tell him what you have been asking him. Remind him again. Incline to me, O God. Hear my cry, O God.
grant this desire. Lift up your voice and talk to God. Talk to God. Don't pray silent prayer. Talk to Him. Incline unto me, O God. Incline unto me, O God. Hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer from the ends of the earth.
I cry unto thee. Oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, it leads me to the rock that is Zion, and I, that is Zion, and I.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Everyone that is in one pit, horrible pit, miry clay, I want you to turn to God. Cry to your Father. Father, out of this horrible pit, bring me up. Out of this miry clay, bring me out. Let him know the miry clay you are in. Let him know the sticky, messy situation you are in. Ask him to bring you up. Ask him to bring you out. Would you like to lift your voice and call your Father in heaven and ask him to bring your Father, bring me out. I am in this mess. I am in this horrible pit. I am in this miry clay. Bring me out, oh God, by the power of your Spirit. Bring me out, oh God. Please talk to God. Talk to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. How's God to give you a new song? Father, give me a new song. Give me a new testimony. Let me not tell old stories. Let me sing a new song. Would you lift your voice and ask God to give you a new song? Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jua Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.